The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
And folks, you're listening to The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
Wait, let me ask. Billy, are you nervous? Do you usually get nervous doing this?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think with time I'm getting the hang of it.
All right.
Like, I'm not as nervous as you guys right now.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not nervous. I don't get nervous. It's not in me, you know.
You don't?
Hey, no, boy, I'm joking. I'm shitting myself. We'll talk about that as well. I'm shitting myself.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bet. So, it's your boy, Billy, back at it with another episode. We have two lovely guests with me in the studio. But before that, I hope you guys are keeping well, keeping safe amidst the pandemic, and things are going well for you guys. So my first guest is Kerubu Kenani, who's a music artist. So she does really good songs. And she's currently not in school, but she loves dancing. I think she'll tell us what, is it a hiatus she's taking, or what the break is all about. And we'd love to hear about that. And plus, she's in the land of opportunities. So she'll delve a bit into that and how probably that has helped her music career. And my other guest is Sania Mungewa, who's a writer in the Strathmore Law School. I want to see how she actually needs to teach me how to reference and do my essays, if that's the writing she delves into. But she loves watching and analyzing films. Horror, both horror, thriller, you name it. And as you can tell, in studio today, we'll be talking about artistry and when do they start loving the art they do, the various art forms they delve in. Is it something they've always learned? Is it a skill for them, or is it talent? Are they driven by passion, or is it for the money? So I think we'll start with you, Kerubu. Tell us about your love for music. Have you always loved music? Were you always, I hear a lot of musicians always start in church as this lead singer and whatnot, and then branch out. So please tell us when and where you discovered your music talent and how that is going.
Well, for me, I've always been like a music person. Like, anybody who's ever known me, I can easily associate me with music. So like, it's always been, plus I kind of come from a musical family. But like, yeah, so it's always been like in me, it's always been what I'm all about. I've always been interested in like singing and like instruments and like being a Beyonce. Like, it's always been something that I've been interested in. And I didn't start in church. In fact, I'm actually a very shy person. So like, for majority of my life, I couldn't sing in front of people. I couldn't really share that part of my life. Like, I couldn't really share the part that I'm like, that, yeah, I songwrite, or yeah, I like to sing. You know, it mostly was just like instruments and like in school, like high school, the subject and everything, and like orchestra and all of that type of stuff. But I never really shared the part of me that sings and songwrites, because I've just been, I was always just a shy person, like stage fright and all of that. So yeah, so it's always been a passion, like a very deep, deep passion. Like, it's all I could do all day, every day for the rest of my life. Like, it's that type of deal with me. Recently is when I kind of got the confidence to share it, because I feel like a lot of people said it was kind of out of nowhere. Like, I was like, okay, so hi, I'm dropping music, you know. But it took a lot of self-motivation and like telling myself, okay, I've always wanted to do this. Okay, it's always for me, like my whole life. I can now share it. I want to share that with the world now, you know. So it took a lot on my part before I actually started sharing. And although my confidence isn't like all the way there yet, it's much better than it was before, because as you've seen now, like I drop music, and like I'm not afraid to say, yeah, I do music. So yeah, that's kind of my story, my origin story.
So even before we go to Saniamu, for you, even as you said, you weren't showing people this side of your life, Do you feel suffocated? Like, I really want to let this out, but I can't because of my shyness? Or was it something you do behind closed doors so it would be like a relief for you?
It was something I always wanted to share, but then the thing with me, I was just so afraid what people would think. Like, that was my major deal. Like, oh my gosh, what if this thing that I love so much, what if I share it and then Kumbe, it's not even that good. Kumbe, people don't even like it. So, you know, that kind of like got into my head. Like, I'm so scared of sharing it because what if they don't like it and then I'm just going to be heartbroken, you see? Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. That was my whole deal. Like, I always wanted to, but then it was just that thought holding me back. And now I'm just like, I'm doing it for me. And I think that's all that matters, truly,
super
honestly.
Super important.
Yeah.
True. And for you, Sunny, what has been your journey in all this?
Oh, okay. I'm going to try and keep mine short because it's a pretty long story. It's like very, very long ago. I was 8 to be safe, but mm-hmm. my parents say it was when I was 6, like somewhere there, like it was pretty early. At the point where I learned that things could be described, you know, like, I don't know. Okay, that's very complicated. I was going to say from the moment I learned about adjectives and whatever, but let's just say when I learned that things can be described or things can be seen differently, like what some people would describe as ugly, probably other words could be used, you know, just the love of language in general began very, very early. And I think it stems from me just wanting to know more and me liking knowing things and being annoyed by the state of not knowing things. So it kind of progressed. And the first time I ever had something out was a mini series of books. And I wrote one mm-hmm. story and I got extra gassed. But the problem with me when I was younger is if I do something and it's among a lot of other kids, I feel like, no, this means that I felt like I wasn't being seen, like it was hidden because it wasn't on page one or it wasn't emphasized on. So I decided to start writing my own stuff and make sure that it was a lot of me and I could write more and there were no constraints to it. So I'd write a lot and I tried stopping. I tried doing other things and I got bored of them, and writing is the only thing that ever stuck with me. So mm-hmm. yeah, up until high school, I stopped writing probably a year in high school. It refused to go away. So I decided, yeah, this is probably it for me. And my progression from writing kind of went from short stories and, you know, the whole composition type thing to poetry, because I decided to keep my stuff brief, but intimate, and poetry was the best way to do it. And now we're here.
And for your folks, were they supportive all along, or were they focused on schoolwork? The writing can always be a subsidiary thing, something you can always do on the side. Mm-hmm. Or were they, let me take you for the art, the galleries, and let's support this, let's buy you books, let's buy you pens, papers.
Mm-hmm. I get you.
To actually,
So, like I was talking about how the first feature, it was so long ago, I don't even remember what I wrote about. It was probably what kids write about, you know, Christmas and dreams and I don't know what kids write about, but it was probably about that. And I think I felt bad because it wasn't good enough. To me, it wasn't good enough, despite having been printed, it still wasn't good enough. So I think I kind of would lament to my parents that I really like this thing, but I'm not particularly good at it. And my parents were just pleased that there was a passion, even though it was negative at that point, because I felt like I wasn't good at it. It showed that I was into it, you know. So I think they were just really happy that I found something I was passionate about. Because let me tell you, I tried so many things. I tried karate, I tried so many different things, and none of them appeals to me except writing. So they were absolutely supportive. I've never gotten doubt, or I've never had them tell me to not do it. And I think I'm privileged in that aspect.
Hey, you're actually privileged. Oh, for Bobo, is that the same case for you?
As I said, my family is kind of like musical, but not like church music, like choir type and all of that, which is fine. So obviously, like when I was younger, of course they'd want me to like, sing. And when they saw that I was getting into like instruments, like piano and all of that, they were supportive, like, oh, my child can do this and this and this. You know how parents talk about their children. So yeah, but then again, also to them, I would hide that part of like songwriting and doing all that for myself. So I mean, they were supportive, but then when it came to like being like, yeah, I actually want to pursue this as like for the rest of my life, it's like, they're just like, should probably just like go to med school or like, law. You know how African parents are. I mean, they're supportive, but they just, I guess. They just think that, like you should probably just go to school, get a degree. It's probably safer, that way. And you shouldn't put everything you like your everything into music. I mean, you can do it like on the side, but like just go to school and get a degree. I mean, we'll support you on the side, but like get a degree, But yeah, how it is for me. I mean, it's not bad. Like I understand it. It's That's what it is,
And in all this, do you guys experience self-doubt? Because personally, I can tell you, even like self-doubt, as I was telling Sunny some other time, self-doubt has become my best friend. You know those toxic relationships? The way the toxic relationships slap. So one day the self-doubt is motivating you to do something better, but the next day self-doubt is dragging you through the mud, telling you, you know, this thing, you're actually a fraud. Just drop this thing and, move on to the next thing. So for you guys, is it the same case or is your confidence at 100?
Obviously, self-doubt is the biggest fiend. Like, it's horrible. And for me, it's especially bad in the point, like, in the sense that I have never been confident publicizing my work at all. It's never gotten easier. For some people it kind of like the burden lessens. The more that they market their work, it becomes habitual and they it's just something that they do. For me, I really can't. Like even when I did an event, I posted a poster once and I said, yo, if you ain't seen it, like if you haven't seen it the one time I posted it, that's I'm so sorry. It's just I posted it and I did my part and that's it. And whenever I post my writing, I posted probably once and then I made a highlight after I'm just gonna be cocky and say after public demand, but no, like two people were like, yo, Sani, can I see your writing? I didn't want to send it to them directly, so I just made a highlight. That's what I'm calling public demand. So yeah, it's self-doubt always driven me to be a bit private with my craft and to always feel like Sani, you're faking it and you're about to make it, but like on what grounds, dog? And it's so horrible, and I wish there were a cure for it, but unfortunately, it's not that simple. And confidence building it, not that simple either.
I totally get what you mean by the thing for putting it on your story once, and if you don't see it, you don't see it. Because I was also like that. Like I felt, I don't know why, I felt like kind of weird, like trying to market it and like
Right?
compete.
It's like we're bothering everyone.
Yeah, it's. That's what I felt like that too. I'm trying to also like get over that because I mean, if you want people to see, you got to put it out there. So
Exactly.
I'm trying to also get over that, but I completely relate to that. It's like, am I bothering them? Is it too much? Is it too
Yeah, and it's all
little?
for nothing because you tend to see that oftentimes people want you to put out your work. Like let's say just me and you, Bobo. Whenever you market your work, I'm like, shit. Literally, if you hadn't had put it out, I probably wouldn't have seen it. And I really do enjoy what you do, so you should put it out more. Like I get annoyed at you, yet you're annoyed at yourself, and probably same for me. Yet it's also difficult.
Yeah, because like, because sometimes I feel like the when you post it once, some people will see it, but not everyone. Because like I remember the other day, I retweeted my own retweet and I felt so weird about that. But then a bunch of more people saw it and I was like, oh, but like a bunch of more people seeing it just because I retweeted it, even though I tweeted it.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, maybe I shouldn't.
It's so important.
Yeah, so I totally get self-doubt. Self-doubt is crazy because when you doubt yourself and you're trying to make some art, a lot of times, well, maybe half the time, you'll make something and you doubt it and you think it's horrible. And actually, it's not even that bad. It's just like your mentality.
Exactly.
Yeah. For me, with that, I realized I'm the only one who can go all out for myself 100 more than anyone. Because you'll obviously have the friends.
Mm-hmm.
You have friends who'll support you. You have friends who keep pushing you like, Sani, Bobo, we need new music. We need new poems.
Mm-hmm.
But then it figures a point even them, they are like, you know, we can't do anything
right,
past this. Exactly. Like for me, I can tell you, I post on my story almost daily about my podcast. Like if I post a new post,
mm-hmm.
I'll repost it on the podcast Instagram page. I'll repost it on my
main
own Instagram page. Mm-hmm. I'll repost it on my Snapchat, on my Twitter, on my WhatsApp status. And then I also used to overthink, like, guys, you think I'm too much.
Exactly. Overthinking.
But I was like, at the end of the day, it's your craft.
Yeah.
I mean, and at the end of the day, it's your social media. If someone is feeling like it's too much, they can as well just mute you. Because again, these are the same people who will come asking you, holding you accountable and asking you, wagwan, if you don't do the exact same thing you're overthinking about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, I think has helped me a lot. Again, I have a good support system. I think we should also talk about that. Because for me, my support system is A1.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my coping mechanism with the self-doubt.
Yeah.
Because I have friends who will post, like, if I release on Sundays, yeah? So I have friends who will post on Sunday. I have friends who will post on Monday, Tuesday, you know? And it's not like I'm prompting them. It just happens. I have friends who will always comment on my Instagram posts to boost the algorithms. I have friends who will share my stuff. I have people who will, every week, I always have a request on my Instagram page telling me how they love this podcast. And for me, that's what at least keeps me going because self-doubt is...
It's a big...
So for you guys, how do you guys deal with your self-doubt?
For me, I just try to remind myself who I'm doing this for because I feel like that's the root of a lot of it. Like, am I doing it for people's approval? Will I stop doing it just because somebody said, I don't like that, you know? Is that like,
true.
Am I tying the worth of my art to the worth of someone's words on the internet? That's what I try to like tell myself. And then if it's too much, I'll take like a little break, maybe like for the rest of the day and tell myself, okay, you can just like feel it for today. Like you can wallow in your self-pity if you want to. And then tomorrow get back on it, you know, because this is you. It's what you want to do. You're doing it for you. It makes you happy. So do it, you know? It's your life, you know? If you want to do it, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I try to tell myself.
I guess more or less the same, but I think it all began for me when I had to source my self-doubt. sorry. So obviously, it's a problem, isn't it? And all problems have roots and it could be so many. For me, it was let's say I put something out and people like it, then I get compliments. What if they're not genuine? What if people are just saying that because they're my friends? Or let's say I post stuff and people don't like it. What am I going to do with all that criticism? Why did I even decide to share that? It's so deep, it's so inherently me. That's a very big part of myself. People not liking it might affect me. Then after sourcing it, I realized, wait, hold on 1 minute. I really don't care about all of that because there is so much work that I have that I haven't released and I probably have no intention of releasing some of it. And I think, why did I write if no one will see it? And it all comes back to it being totally just something I've done for myself. So I treat everything that I share as if I've written it for myself or I've done it for myself. And the self-doubt kind of starts going away after realizing that if I like it, then it genuinely doesn't matter what someone else might say concerning it. And obviously support system is so vital. And Billy, it's good that you have a support system because I don't know how people who create would survive without at least one person backing them. you know. So my friends are also very, very supportive, and it's unreal the kind of support I get from my friends. My support system is just very stable. That's all I have to say about that.
And I feel it's so important, like when you're doing like things in the arts, like things like with the podcast or maybe like a YouTube channel, it's so important to have like a support system, because it's so easy to get like not motivated. It's so easy to, you know, fall into the, oh my gosh, I have to do this, people are expecting me to do this, I'm tired, you know. It's so easy to doubt yourself. Again, self-doubt, it's just so easy. So the thing with a support system, it's really important, because like with the people who support you and your friends who you can talk to, you can share with them the challenges that you face, because you know you, Billy, you're gonna deliver this podcast, us, we're gonna see the podcast, but we don't know like what you've done behind the scenes to get it to
exactly
like all the editing. It's a lot of work to do on your own, you know. So like, it's really important to have like friends or like family who support you, because it kind of motivates you to keep going, because it's not easy at all. There's a lot that goes into it behind the scenes, right, to deliver like a product.
And I love how you guys have even brought up the aspect of always remembering your why. Why are you doing this? Because even for me, I tell you, I get criticism like from, you know, from people who probably wouldn't know the process. I remember when I first signed off, my sound quality was bottom of the barrel. And that one I understood. And obviously I was hiding the shadow of I'm a new person. But then again, you don't want to compromise the quality of the thing just because you're new. And so for me, it was really hard navigating that, because everyone else is telling you, I love the podcast, but the sound. And so I think, again, with a new creative, it takes time for you to actually understand the things. And for me as well, I think people are a bit patient with me. Like, people didn't come at me. Guys were giving that constructive criticism to just help you grow. And that's one thing I remember before I started, I was afraid of that. What if I put out this work and when someone criticizes the work, I'll take it as an offense upon me as Billy.
Exactly.
And not the podcast on its own. So for you guys, did you ever feel the same way, like when I criticize Me and You by Kerubo? Is it, am I criticizing Kerubo herself, or is it the music?
I feel like that's actually a really a big thing, because remember, I received a hate comment, and I still remember it up to this day. I don't know. I don't even remember.
Been there.
Yeah, and I was like, it was my first hate comment. I don't even remember what app it was, but I remember someone saying to me at the end of my song, I sounded Sidri, and I was just like, gosh, I had to go back and listen repeatedly. And
then you become obsessive.
Yeah, and it's like that one comment just like overshadows all the good comments, and I'm like, are all these people lying to me and everything? So I've learned to like separate that, like I separate my art from me in that type of way. Like, if someone's criticizing my art, they're not criticizing me, you know, they're just trying to like give me pointers on how, what I can do to improve, or like from, you know, the opposite side. Because like, for example, music or like the podcast, by the time you're putting it out, you've listened to it so many times, and there's things maybe you won't hear or something, or like things you won't notice sometimes. So like, it's good, I feel like it's kind of good to have that outside eye. So it's not, it's not really to you, it's to your work, what you can do better, but in a good way. Does that make sense?
Well, okay, I know how to put this, but like, I've never received direct hate, you get me? It's not even like that. Now, you know, if you start standing, someone's gonna say, I'm that bitch standing. No, don't
go ahead, go ahead.
COVID.
God, when?
It's not even that, it's like this. The thing about poetry and writing poetry. Okay, let me talk about myself. Personally, when I write it, before I write, I'm in the zone. When I write it, it just flows. After I write it, once I publish it or put it publicly, you know, I say, this is the corniest shit ever. Then that's the thing with like the thing with poetry is once okay the thing with poetry for me is once I read back my own work, I'm like, why did I write all this? Why did I have to say this? Who says this? You know? So anything hateful that can be said about my poetry, I've already said it to myself. And wait, what was I gonna say? Oh, about not ever receiving a hate comment. It's because there's someone who told me, and this isn't hate, but it was like it didn't sadden me, it just made me go, oh, like yikes, you know. Mm. Someone was like, Sani, I love your writing, but I never know what the fuck you're saying. And I was like, shit, sometimes I don't know what I'm saying either. And it's not, that's not a hate comment, but it's like, rah, what if everyone feels like this and I'm out here spitting, yeah, and I'm spitting absolute nothingness, you know? So whenever I receive even compliments, I've learned to put that aside. Whenever someone says, now the genuine ones, the ones who know I'm talking about, whenever they say, I love your work, I love your craft, I like how you write, you write so beautifully, all your words, nini, I say, thank you, I appreciate, and I kind of just keep it moving. Yes, it gasses me off, but I've kind of attributed every compliment to my craft, because I try and separate Sani the person to Sani the one who writes, you know. So yeah, definitely, it's healthy to have a separation. Otherwise, it could get to your head if it's too good, and you know, it could get to your head if it's pretty bad.
Yeah, either way, I agree with that.
I think it's funny how we actually crumble at someone who's never worked a day in your life, someone random on the internet who is having a bad day at home, decided to troll you, and you crumble at that one opinion vis-a-vis the hundreds of people who will constantly tell you, I loved this episode. But that one person, you're just like, you know. But again, someone told me, always know when to take the, when someone is actually genuinely giving you the criticism, or when someone just blatantly wants to make you feel less of yourself, you know.
Exactly. Not some random.
It's, I think it's the whole situation for, you know, like how people say, when you're being brutally honest, focus on being honest and not brutal. Or like when you're giving constructive criticism, focus on, you know, the construction part of it and not, you know, aiming at being criticizing, critique, whatever the word is.
Again, I think people don't understand the depth of your craft. Like, let's even say for you guys, the music and the poetry, like those things are some that they are, the depth is so great that people don't understand how much of yourself you're putting into it. It's not something that you just woke up. Like, I know, like for poetry, you can write poems every day, but the ones that you decide to put out are things you've put you all in.
Yeah.
You've reread, you've given your close friends to read, but no one ever sees this back end, manenos.
Yeah.
No one ever sees the struggle. No one ever sees this is actually you putting yourself
out there,
and pouring yourself and allowing people to, you know, see your nakedness, quote unquote.
Oh.
To see the real you. Because I think even with these art forms, there's something you're communicating that you can't communicate probably even on this podcast and talk about it. But in your poems, in your music, there's something you're writing about that, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I feel also like the reason why, like now, like in this point in time, like not when I was just starting out, but like now, why if I got a hate comment, it really won't get to me, is because I, with my own eyes, I can see and hear my growth since the very first, since forever, actually, my growth until this.
Right?
And that in itself just makes me so proud. And so when I sit down to work on something, and the amount of work, oh my gosh, it's so much work that goes into like making a song, for example, since I do everything on my own. So at this point in time, I'm just proud. Like, I'm just proud of myself for actually doing this, proud of myself for like getting through the barriers in my head. So right now, if I got a hate comment, I'll just be like, okay, so now I'm proud of what I've done. You know, like I've come.
Definitely.
This was hard. So like, where I'm at the moment. You should take time to like pat yourself on the back and like give yourself a break, and like you've come from far, like you've improved, so you appreciate your growth. I feel
Yeah, and about growth, like one thing about me is I forgot to mention about like my growth into the whole poetry thing. The first time I ever sent something out in to be publicized or whatever, I did it totally ironically. It was in 2019, I think, somewhere around June, and there was the newspaper contest, and my dad showed it to me. Wasn't my dad who showed it? I think it was my dad showed it to me. And then I was like, okay, cool, like whatever, like what do you want me to do with that? You know, the whole that little arrogance for it's, you know, there was just some arrogance. I was like, what do you want me to do? So then I wrote something, and then I literally told myself, you know what, let me just send it in, since he wanted to show me that actually there's something going on, let me send. And then I sent it, and it did get featured. And then afterwards, can you stop it? So afterwards, I was like, you know what? I need to stop doing things ironically and sarcastically, because let's say things get serious. What will I tell people? Will I tell people it was just a joke that went too far? So,
Would you joke yourself?
right. So I think it for me, it became some, I started publicizing because I told myself, okay, no more laughs. It's something that you can do. You like doing it. Stop pretending that you don't like it. And I have seen myself get better and kind of personalize my craft, because I also, you know, like how you said, you saw yourself grow. Same, dude. I used to try and incorporate things that I thought people would want to read, like current affairs, but that's just it just wasn't me. It didn't come naturally. I would read back my work and think I'm a news anchor. It was weird for me. So I just learned how to be 100% authentic and very original and very myself with what I do. And that's I think the major point of growth is finding your niche.
Really,
Yeah.
I kind of relate with you with the thing of trying it like ironically, like kind of just to test the waters, you know. So even with me, like with my first song, Me and You, I finished it. I kind of did it just like as jokes, you know, to learn about
Right.
being an
Just for the laughs, you know.
just for like, let me just try it out and see how it is, because I didn't really know much about producing. I still don't, honestly, but like, you know, you grow and you learn. But anyway, and I just had it sitting, and I was like, should I just like, you know, drop it, you know, just like dump on everybody real quick, or should I just keep it to myself? And I went like a week, like wondering, should I actually drop it? Should I not? Let me just do it, just and see how it's gonna be. So yeah, I get what you mean by like the ironically thing, and you know, people liked
Yeah.
it. Okay.
But it's a
Okay.
great way to begin. It's a great way to begin, like not
Yeah.
expecting much to happen.
Yeah.
Because once, if you start something with extremely high expectations and it doesn't turn out like that, you get absolutely disappointed. Or if you begin with low expectations, like expectations that are too low, and then things go right, you'll feel as if everything will come that easy. So for me, I just did it with nothing. Like,
Yeah.
just, you know, I'm just gonna put it out there. Whatever happens,
That's,
happens.
yeah.
Worst case scenario, like nothing will happen. Best case scenario, nothing will happen and no one will know of my shame, and I'll be like sad alone, and I'll cry at night, you know, alone.
But like on that note, I have now a question. So like for you guys, as you said, like, you know, just like dropping things, like being kind of neutral, not having too high expectations or too low expectations. So where's the line between having like not expecting anything from what you're doing and like seeing your own potential? Does that make sense? Like if you're telling people or like marketing or like posting on social media about something that's yet to come out, are you gonna talk highly of it? Like, oh my gosh, so I have this coming out on this day. I really hope you guys like it, or blah blah blah. I really worked out, blah 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 blah. Or will you just be like, oh, I have this coming out on this day, period? So is it like, where's like the line of like believing in yourself too much and like just knowing your potential?
That's not a convenient question for me, because I still don't No. Okay. But I know how to get there. I just don't execute it. An important thing to do is to try and, this is for everyone else, not for me though, because, you know, it's hard to take your own advice. So if you have a timeline or certain expectations, probably that probably works for people saying by the end of the year, I want to have done this, and you stick to it. I guess that will be easier for you to set, to have confidence in yourself or to expect something out of what you do. I don't know if I'm making sense, but it's making sense in my head. You know, if you have a timeline for things.
Yeah.
if you make a timeline for your expectations, it's easier. It makes it a bit easier to be confident in yourself. Like, I know by the end of this month I would have done this, so I'll improve in this aspect. The criticism I'll get will help me build for next month, and so on and so forth. And my issue is I do what you said in the second case scenario. I usually just write, hey guys, I have this coming out, period. That's it. That's all I say. I don't even say, hey guys, I don't even greet them. I just say, this is coming out. And it's bad.
Okay.
It's bad. And I think I'll change. I'll change, definitely. It's something I need to change, because it's important to be confident in yourself, because that kind of exudes and it makes other people confident in you.
True.
So, yeah.
Like, it all goes back to the whole, oh, am I going to post too much? Am I disturbing people? I feel like it kind of goes back to the whole conversation that we had.
Full circle.
But for me as well, I think I struggled with the thing about not hyping it too much and giving guys high expectations. Then when they listen, they're like, oh boy, like, was it worth all that hype? And again, just doing it the right amount that guys will get, will know that there's a new episode out and we're talking about this. And so I think with that line, it's you then who can define that, what that line is for you.
Yeah, it's subjective, you totally. Know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. I was just thinking about how, okay, so like on TikTok and Lil Nas X, all the TikToks he posts are his song that hasn't even come out.
So that's what I'm
kind of thinking, maybe we should just be that confident that literally everywhere you go, that's all he's posting and it's not even out yet.
Exactly. And we already, like, it's already inherent that we, like, feel like it's going to be good. We've heard the snippets.
Right, we're already singing along and it's not even out.
And it's, like, three lyrics.
Right?
And we know.
Just doing
confidence is key.
When you see him confident in a song and he's doing it, you're like, yeah, this is actually something you want to listen to.
Yeah.
And then again, when you put out something and even you yourself can't be proud of it, or even can't, you know, say that I did that work properly, even no one else will have that confidence in you out.
Yeah, it's like your people like can read or like feel your confidence, and that makes them interested. That's very true. I feel like I've experienced that. It's very true. If you're confident in what you do, people will kind of be confident in you too. If you're not confident, you're like, oh yeah, just yeah, by the way, blah blah blah.
Yeah, that's my goal. I'm going to start, being better. I'm going to start being better. At least I'll say hi.
You know, your fans are listening, so they'll be expecting that. And another question to Sunny is with writing. I remember, like, guys who used to write, not even exactly to your level, but even journals and keep diaries, there's always that fear of someone coming to steal your work. And as I said earlier, you pour your whole self into the art form, into the poem. So, like, how did you ever deal with that, especially in high school, when you think you're writing a diary or like poems and someone just grabs it and goes tell everyone that, hey, son is writing poems and I love it, but to you, you feel like that's invasion of your privacy.
Right.
Can you please respond to this?
It actually did. Obviously it happened because everyone, like you said, it was pretty common for people to take other people's probably journals or diaries and read. Right. But I'm not so sure. A lot of high school has been suppressed, so I can't pull it out, but I remember it reached a point that I'd actually just say, you know what, if you want to read it, just ask me. I will definitely give it to you. And I would give people who I know won't, what's the word? I don't want to say do me wrong, or people who won't, I don't want to say solicit yeah. either.
Share it.
You know, people who would treat it right. That's yeah. that. And people who won't share my book, like, or go to the dorm with it at night, because I would write whenever I was mm. avoiding, like, other things, like studying and whatever. So, yeah, definitely happened. And it stopped becoming an invasion of privacy for me. And also, stealing my work would have been pretty difficult. But that's a whole other conversation about how I learned how to personalize my work and, like I said, just kind of create something that's very, very different to me or unique or personal.
I actually had my little like journal thing stolen from me. I remember quite clearly. It was stolen. I remember form one, it was stolen, I think, from my desk, and I was so devastated because, I mean, I was just writing. It wasn't like a diary or like anything. It was like, I'd say like lyrics or like, you know, poems, you know, when you're kind
of. Which is a bit more important.
Yeah, like it was more personal, like me and like mm-hmm. what I'm, just like verses of what I'm going through. So that, it broke me into so many pieces. I was so sad. And then somebody brought it to me and was like, oh no, you know this thing, it was found in chapel, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey. Another journal, and I didn't
really. That's not the right place to find something like that.
And I didn't read the journal again. I was scarred for the rest of my 4 years of high school. Mm.
Sorry about that.
That's actually real trauma.
It's so sad.
I swear. But maybe it wasn't interesting enough because I never heard people talk about it. So I was like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Thanks. I heard people talking about my stuff, but it was the people who I gave to read. So it was, mm-hmm. it still kind of stayed a bit tight-knit, and I was all right with it. And I guess I could start off on the self-sabotage question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything just goes back to self-doubt. Self-doubt makes you self-sabotage. You don't think you're good enough, so it starts becoming something you chant to yourself, or you just keep telling yourself, I shouldn't do this, I'm not good enough. And then I think for me, that's where I get this unreal detrimental writer's block. You know, it comes after I tell myself that everything you write is fake, or someone probably had this idea before, or you'll never be original, you'll never be as good as the people you want to be good like. And then that kind of made me stop having idols. And it's just I think the only way you can destroy yourself is by convincing yourself that you're not worthy of your craft,
yeah,
and that you'll never be a certain level of good. So yes, it's terrible, but I still stand with everything goes back to self-doubt,
which it really is a bit does, yeah. truly. It's mm-hmm. really all in your mind. Like that's the whole thing. And what I can add on that, like Sunny, what's also important in your craft is to know, I think you talked about it, like to know your niche, like to know your genre, so that you're not like
looking
at other genres that are not meant for you, and then it will just bring you more, even more self-doubt, because you're like, why is this one not coming so easy? Oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. But yeah. Honestly, it's just not your genre. Not that it like reduces you, it's just not your mm-hmm. genre. So it's really because mm-hmm. to me, I've experienced that because like maybe I'm trying to write or like sing along to like a different type of beat that I'm not so used to, because like maybe I want to expand, and then it just, and you know, nothing's really coming as easy, and I'm just like, oh, maybe, you know, I'm not that good, or like it's just why is it not coming easy? Is there something wrong? It pushes me into like writer's block. Me too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's just, I've just come to realize maybe it's just not my genre, you know?
Exactly, I get you.
Yeah, like,
have you ever, you've kind of answered this with saying you've tried different genres. Billy, have you ever tried something that you were trying just because it had traction or because, you know, like, but then it ended up not being for you? Like, have you ever tried like rapping or, you know what I'm talking about?
Personally, I think I'm also the part where I've self-sabotaged and had so much stuff that I've never tried anything outside my scope. So, for example, even this podcast, I said it in January, yeah? And so even when I'm doing it, guys have told me, try some other things. But, you know, personally, I've not delved into trying new niches or whatever because I want to be comfortable. I always tell guys that this thing, this podcast, I'm doing it for myself. So I won't succumb to pressures of guys wanting me to, you know, guys always tell me, feature this my popular artist, Siju Akinahu, for you guys, Cloud.
You were about to name drop.
What I wanted. I don't know. I was about to say, hey, well. But I wouldn't want to do that just for someone's clout. Yeah. Like for you guys to come on my podcast, I see the value you guys are bringing on my podcast. Oh, and that's what I want on my podcast. I know you guys, when you talk, someone else who's probably in high school or someone who's doing their degree and struggling with whatever they're doing will get something from what you guys are saying. Not just someone who will bring clout and then after that, alafu.
Yeah, you know, then what?
So for me, I've never delved away from my niche. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in short.
That's perfect. That's all right. Even yeah, me. Yeah, shorty. Okay. Even me, like, I've tried writing. You know, there is a lot of, I don't know how to say it, market. There's just a lot of traction in the kind of poetry that's about politics, in the kind of poetry that's about current affairs, and I've tried writing. Let me tell you, it's possible. Yes, as a writer, you should be able to write everything, anything. So I can write it. Possibility, yes, I can. But I'll write now. I'll be like, oh, I hate how this sounds. I hate how it looks. I hate that it's just very performative of me to write this solely because it might get, you know, views or people will read it. I don't want that because that if it gets traction, I'll be known as, oh, the girl who wrote about police brutality in women, you know, and that would be great to be known for something, but it's not great to be known for something that's not totally completely you. Yeah. So no matter what you're doing, even if it's not getting attention, as long as it's 100% you, do it. Yeah, because now I'm completely comfortable writing about all these topics, and I do write about anything and everything and all female empowerment and all that, and I'm still not known for that particular stuff. You know, I'm just known as that girl who writes. There's nothing specific to it, and I think that's cool. I've achieved that point of being authentic in my craft.
Even with podcasting, I think a lot of podcasts would probably talk about love, relationship, and sex. Those are the, if you listen to most podcasts, those
and
are
some alcohol. Yeah.
And you know, obviously, there's market for that. When someone sees sex, everyone wants to listen to what it is about sex. Mm-hmm. But for me, I don't want to talk about that because that's not what my niche is, you know. Because obviously, if I talk about that, my views would probably increase, but you know, as Sanya said, is that who what I
is
want
that
to be,
who
you know?
We are
is that who we are
is that what we stand for
I get you, that's perfect. You just stick to what you know best and stick to what I usually ask myself, like, what do you want to be known for, what would you be comfortable with being known for, and it's never specified into, you know, I want to be known for standing for this or for being like, I just want to write, dog. I just want to write. That's it. Yeah. I just want to write and I want people to read my shit. And I've come up with so many different ideas and they make me happy. And I just hope they make someone happy as well some other time. I don't even want to be known for that, for anything except my writing. You know, stop knowing me. Stop it.
Stop.
Yeah.
As the song goes,
don't go chasing waterfalls.
Do you want to sing it? Mm-hmm. Something to rap it.
I've got a word to stick to. I think the rivers and something.
The rivers, you know, or something.
How are waterfalls and the river? Okay.
Yes. I agree with you guys on that one. I feel like you should always stick to a place where you're comfortable. But at the same time, I feel like it's not completely wrong to try something new. Like, I mean, it's always okay. Yeah, to like try something new. But if it doesn't work for you, you shouldn't like hold it against you and be like, I can't do this, you know. And I feel like it's always really important to be like grateful for what you have and like for the people who are supporting you and for the people who, you know, like what you do. Because, you know, as long, I mean, yeah, you may not be talking about the things that, you know, get most of the views, but, you know, there's still somebody out there who waits very eagerly for you to drop something, you know, for you to say something. So I feel like it's very, this support system that we have, it's important that we also like be very grateful to them, because, you know, they don't have to the way that they do. Exactly. So it's very important to return that gratitude, I feel.
Yeah, literally.
And guys will always know when you're being original. Because I know, like, for me, for example, if I break away from the cycle of what I do, people will notice that.
It will be obvious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And guys, you know, guys follow you or listen to your stuff because of what you've already done. They already love what you're doing. And so when you break out to something else that probably they don't want, even them, they're like, I think this is the end of the journey for the good, the bad, the Busherian. He's trying to now chase the money, whatnot. And even on that point for you guys, on the monetary aspect, do you guys, is it a goal for you guys, or is it those things for, if it comes well and good? Because even earlier tonight, my dad was asking me, so Billy, has the podcast money started coming? I think a lot of people ask me that.
That's a question that a lot of people ask.
And for me, I always tell them, for me personally, money is, even though I just do this for the next 2 years without getting money, I'll be fine. Because for me, I said this thing, money was not in the equation, you know, because I enjoy doing this. I enjoy having you guys on the podcast and us talking about it, anything and everything. And, you know, us having a good time as you do it. And the money aspect really didn't have to come, you know. Like, I wouldn't want to be bored. Like the distributor I use obviously gives me money. So if I want to monetize my work, I can, apparently, like, for every 1,000 views, I can get, like, $10 or whatnot.
Hey.
But for me, I don't want to do that.
Are you going to give me podcast,
Listen, you're going to listen to my podcast, and every 10 minutes, you're hearing an ad. You know, and for me, it's not at the, like, not even you as the listener, you'll be like, oh boy, you know.
Yeah.
And then you have to start bending it to certain other things because you just want to advertise and get for the money. And I see a lot of artists do that, you know. Once the money comes, you leave your craft and now it's about the money. So for you guys, what is your whole view on the monetary aspect and your end goals, even as you wind up?
Okay, so for me, as I've said, music, like, that's like all I want to do with my life. So monetizing it, like, well, not even monetizing it, like, in the way of like shows, like, I still put my work out there very authentically. Like, I've made this, I'm so very proud of it. Of course, when I'm putting it out there, I'm not thinking, okay, I'm gonna get this many dollars per this many views, I need to reach blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not where my mentality is. I'm just doing it because I love it, but I would love to make like a career off of it, not even like being like some Ariana Grande, like Beyonce type. Like, I'm fine.
Why not?
Like, anything to live by. But then again, I'm not going to force it, because I feel like if I force it, I'm going to start feeling like it's not something I enjoy anymore. It's like now I have to work. You know, I want it to always be something I enjoy and not do because of money. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. But if opportunities come on the way, who am I to
deny?
Exactly. But I'd never accept something that is not authentic to me and authentic to, like, my viewers. Like, I wouldn't I wouldn't like promote something that I don't believe in, or like do like way too many promotions that it's just, I'm just an influencer now, you know? I want to be like an artist. Like, that's what I want people to know me by. Oh, I like her music. Not, oh, she has too many ads, or like she just does promos all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's my hope. I mean, I'd love to make a career out of it. Who am I to refuse, you know?
Right. But,
like, mm-hmm. It's what I love to do. I don't want to make it mm-hmm. like a hectic job, kind of. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I'm not sure, because right off the bat, I think I have to keep in, we have to remember that I never, like, initially I genuinely didn't know whether I wanted to publicize myself or not. So money could have never been something that drove me to it, or that currently drives me now, because I still have that mentality for, I'm just, you know, like, the world is now my notebook. Ew, yeah. That's so funny. But it's like, I'm writing and sharing as if I'm just writing in my notebook for me to read later. So monetizing it isn't a necessity, but I understand that in some cases it's pretty inevitable. Like, I decide to write for people who are about to pay me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I'm never going to say, no, stay with your money. I do it for the love of it. Nah, just hand it over real quick. Yeah, you know, give it here. So mm-hmm. I don't think money is big factor in doing what I do. It's like, it's pretty small, honestly. Yeah, that's because that's what I'm gonna say. But it's not.
Can I just add something, like, real quick? I feel like the thing with life, you know, I feel like personally, I'm just trying to live life and not get caught up in like the mentality, like, I can't, I need to make money, you know, I need to have enough money, you know, I need to buy a house and have enough money for my children to provide. And I'm just trying to enjoy life and to enjoy what I do and to just go live, you know, because we get so caught up in life that we forget to live. And what else is the point of life than to just live it? Does that make sense? I don't know. I just feel like
it's there.
Like, just do what's enjoyable to you. Don't. It's hard not to stress about like money and everything, but I feel like let that not be always a driving factor for you to choose something. You know, like don't just go to med school because doctors make a good amount of money. You know, let that not be your main driving factor in life. I feel
yes.
So guys, what are your parting shots as we wrap up? Like, what would you tell your younger self?
I there's so much I would have told that bitch. I think it would mostly be stuff centered around, you know, you're the most permanent person in your life. So focus on what you think about yourself, what you're doing for yourself, how you're going about it. And yeah, whether it pleases you or not, because younger me was, I don't know, I don't love her so much right now, but she's great. She was great. But I think it's all centered around self-importance. Put yourself on a pedestal and share your work, sis. There's a lot of good stuff I had when I was like 10. Share your work. So yeah, I just tell myself to be more confident and to strive more and to put myself first in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, not most of them, all of them.
I agree. I feel like for me, it's probably the same. I would just tell myself, it's your life. At the end of the day, you're the one who's gonna live it when you're 25 and you're 35, and you're the one who's gonna, if you don't do something, you're the one who's gonna regret 15 years later. So just try everything you wanna try and don't be afraid of like what people are gonna think, because honestly, no one's views matters no one's views matter as much as your views. Wait, hold on.
End of story. You've made sense. You've made sense.
Yeah, you got
like I'm saying. Yeah, yes, exactly.
It's just know your worth. It's all that matters. Make yourself happy. Don't prioritize somebody else's happiness and comfortability over your own. That's what I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What about you? What would you tell your younger self?
Yeah, Billy, what would you tell? Mm-hmm. Really small, little Bill.
Little Bill.
Ha. Huh. As you said, I'd tell...
Billy boy, I tell him, that's the only thing I tell him. But in regards to this,
mm-hmm.
I tell him, shoot your shot. What, for me, the mentality that even keeps me going right now is, first, what's the worst that can happen? Mm-hmm. Definitely I've invited people who've turned me down. And, you know, life moves on. Like, literally, what's the worst that can happen?
Yep.
You know, but that's what again, I ask what's myself. The best that can yeah. happen?
Exactly. You know, those are the questions I ask myself and I love where it's led me. That's so important. I love that.
Yep.
Yeah, because now the best that can happen is so many good things can come out of it. Mm. But the worst that can happen is a troll going on Twitter or Instagram and trolling it and someone just turning you down and that's it. And beyond that and beyond the screen, it doesn't even matter beyond the screen. But okay. The best thing that can happen are so many.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I tell him, get the mentality for kwani atakuchapa. Because again, the many times I'm afraid of shooting my shot. But then I remember, hey, kwani atakuchapa, you know. kwani.
Very good mentality.
So,
right.
When I'm asking Sanyamu, come to my podcast. And she refused. So my mentality will be like, kwani she, if I ask her, kwani atakuchapa, like what's the, literally, it still ties back to what's the worst that can happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the mentality I go with.
What's, what's the worst that could happen? Truly.
Exactly. It got me here. That's those sort of questions got me to a great place in my head and in probably hopefully in my craft, which will lead me further places. What's the worst that could happen? And what's the best that could happen? And you know, you literally have nothing to lose if you try. If you try, as long as you try.
True. So with that, folks, thank you so much, guys, for gracing the podcast. Thank you, guys, for being a lovely audience and listening to it this far. Hope to see you guys next week. Can't wait for your feedback. Don't forget to share, subscribe, give us your insights and what you thought about the podcast. What is it that you tell your younger artist self? And cheers. Have a lovely week ahead.
Cheers.
Cheers.